Hello, this is Mike Harvath with Revenue Rocket, broadcasting live and direct from our world headquarters in Bloomington, Minnesota, talking podcasts this week. As you know, Revenue Rocket is the world premier growth strategy and M&A advisor to tech-enabled services companies. With me today are my partners, Ryan Barnett and Matt Lockhart. Welcome, guys. What are we talking about?
Well, great to be here, Mike. I think it's a great topic today, a little bit of a follow-up in a way, Ryan, from our awesome discussion with Dennis from Uptime a couple of weeks ago, but excited to get rolling. What's going on, Ryan?
Yeah, hey, thanks for having me on, guys, and being part of this podcast. Yeah, we had a great conversation with Dennis Demke from Uptime Legal a few podcasts ago, and I loved his approach of talking about you can't really put a veneer on tackling the vertical market. You really have to go after it. And we wanted to follow that podcast up today with taking a different angle of what does it matter to a buyer in an M&A transaction if you're a seller that has really targeted vertical market approach? And again, we always like to talk about prospects that we see out there, but we ran into a client this week, for a prospect, really interesting businesses, targeted a very discrete vertical market, understood how to get in it and execute well. And because of that, they had 37% EBITDA margins, just unheard of margins. But when we look back through some of our other clients who have gone through successful sale processes, where they targeted very specific markets, those EBITDA margins are not necessarily crazy skyrocket unheard of. They're actually relatively normal. So to get something in that 20 to 25% EBITDA is not something out of the world. So today we want to talk about that vertical market approach and why it matters in the sale process. So Mike, let's just start it off. You know, what is a vertical market approach for someone who's new to this market?
Yeah, so, you know, we talk a lot about, there's a lot of confusion around specialization and verticalization. We differentiate specialization from verticalization in that specialization is really focused on tech, you know, whether you're a, you know, managed service provider or cyber firm, or maybe you implement an app, or, you know, you focus on custom dev or whatever it might be, kind of your tech specialization. But verticalization is much more market facing. So like in the case of Uptime, it was, you know, they focused on, you know, boutique law firms. In the case of folks that focus on financial services and maybe a niche there, like financial advisors or insurance or healthcare, as an example, or manufacturing, these are all sort of market based, vertical markets. And I think, you know, the best ones are an intersection not only of the market itself, but also the size and geography of those markets. I think when people think about picking vertical markets, sometimes they just say, hey, we're the healthcare guys. But, you know, you can drive a Mack truck through that. I mean, you've got to be very focused. Are you, you know, more focused on providers or payers of certain sizes and certain regions? Because the more specific you can get there in the ideal prospect profile, the easier it is to be successful. So when we talk about vertical markets, we're really talking about the market, the you know, think of it as a SIC code or an industrial market, look at the world.
Yeah, thanks for setting that up, Mike. Matt, I'll turn it over to you. I think we've seen this through our experience, but what happens to revenue and profit when you do start to narrow in on a specific vertical market?
Yeah, I mean, I think that what we see is that, and we, you know, we talked about this a bit with Dennis, is that because you are becoming so much more valuable to your target market, target client set, right? When we say we're, you know, that, firms that have gone through and done a good job of verticalization become more valuable, it's they know their customers better, right? They become specialists, not just from a technical specialist, but true specialists and trusted advisors, because they know their customers' needs better. And because of that, all of a sudden, new customer acquisition gets easier, because they are truly differentiated, right? And then, you know, customer retention also improves. Again, you're just stickier because you're more valuable. It's easier to get in because you're more valuable, and you speak the language of your end customers, and you know their problems, and you can anticipate their needs better than others. So all of these things are driven off of what is truly increasing your value to your clients. So customer acquisition gets easier, customer retention is better, revenue increases. Also, because you're able to concentrate and you're building up your IP, whether that be true sort of hard product intellectual property or just your processes as well as your business knowledge, that focus enables you to drive more to the bottom line. So the net is what we see is that it's sort of top right quartile for firms in terms of their revenue growth percentage as well as what they're realizing in the bottom line.
Yeah, it's great summary, Matt. When we think about this in context of M&A, if you're trying to sell your company and you have this vertical market approach, it seems like you might have a bit of a polarizing effect on potential suitors. Now, Mike, I'd love to hear some thoughts around what do buyers look for when they're acquiring, and then vertical market specialization. It seems like it could be something where they'd be willing to double down on, or something that might be turning them off completely. Love to hear your thoughts there.
Well, I think there's two schools of thought about sort of how acquirers think about buying businesses. And, you know, certainly there's this generalist market approach that, you know, works, right? Now, it's a pretty competitive red ocean strategy that, you know, we've talked about for 20 plus years. We think the vertical strategy is superior because of the actual numbers of the companies that verticalize outperform the ones that don't by a pretty wide margin. And, you know, both in the growth rate, top line growth rate, as well as, you know, realized sort of EBITDA margins. So, you know, if a buyer is in alignment with that theory and strategy that, you know, many of the major vendors like Microsoft and Salesforce and others have been, you know, pontificating, and many of their partners have aligned to over the years, then they're going to, you know, look for and value not only that expertise as it augments their overall strategy around verticals, but our experience has been that they tend to pay up for those businesses. One, because they're a little bit fewer and farther between. That's part of the reason why as an operator you verticalize, so you can eliminate competition in your space. But, you know, a well-run, high growth, high profit business in any case is going to command a premium. But we see even an additional premium when a vertical focus is aligned has been implemented well. And that's simply because the strategic synergies that are going to be realized sort of post-transaction usually are extremely high, off the chart in many ways. Because the type of alignment you get, for example, with a company that may be focused on, you know, pick a vertical market, healthcare clinics of a certain size, if they're servicing part of the technology in that healthcare clinic, and let's say you have built a business that does that, and you know you service a little different part, the opportunity to cross sell and upsell and get synergies on the 1+1 = you know 3, 4, or 5 are exceptionally high. And so typically we see, you know, that sort of material higher value opportunity present itself. Now, it will turn off buyers that have no interest in vertical market. Right? There's still a big percentage of people that operate businesses or investors in businesses in the tech-enabled service space that are more horizontal. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. And they're just going to not see the value there because it just it doesn't align well with their strategic intent or what we'll sometimes call their buyer mandate. And, you know, so I think, you know, the devil's in the details in finding the right suitor. If you're verticalized and certainly, you know, having broad reach, to understand sort of the market and working with the appropriate advisor to assist you would be imperative if you're looking for, you know, optimizing that value in that situation.
As you were talking, Mike, one of the things I was thinking about, and we, you know, we've seen this also is that, you know, increasing that strategic imperative, like you say, for some buyers, they may look at a firm that is verticalized in, oh, just say the healthcare market, right? And the buyer, you know, may have an existing vertical in financial services and they see the opportunity to have some synergy across those two verticals, you know, both regulated markets, et cetera, and they look at a firm with that strong healthcare vertical focus and they see that as an entree into that particular vertical. And correspondingly, right, they think that is of greater strategic value to their firm and they're willing to put an enterprise value in a deal together that's higher because the strategic the strategic value for the buyer is, it's higher as well, right? So we see that all the time to your point that it's not just because the performance is better, but again, just that that strategic nature can just be naturally higher as well.
Yeah, it has led so much well into my question there, which was even if a buyer's outside of the industry, they may want to be acquiring in it. And really what I'm hearing is you may have very similar outcomes from a valuation or strategic fit. Because of that alignment to get you into a new market. And that's a really great point. Is there advice that you would give to sellers who are targeting industries that may be cyclical or going under duress or pressure? We have seen very specific industries. I'll give an example, oil and gas. Some people, it's a bit polarizing, but would you recommend to a company to double down and be heavier in energy? Or would you advise a company to diversify some of those offerings into perhaps ancillary markets? Oil and gas might be a little much, but maybe there's something in healthcare or maybe something in hospitality. I'd love to hear your thoughts on how you reconcile perhaps the risk or a risky industry. And Mike or Matt, both of you have worked with clients within this, and either of you feel free to jump in.
Well, I think what's interesting about the topic is, you know, certainly, you know, that is the biggest objection you get from what we'll call more horizontal market focused firms. It's like, well, we want to diversify our risk. We feel that, you know, if one of these markets should go down, and we were solely focused on it or more aligned to it, you know, then our business would go down with it. You know, our experience has been that, you know, there's a lot of art that goes into defining the market, right? What is your vertical market and how do you want to, you know, determine? And I think it has to be large enough to matter, meaning you have to be able to weigh, you know, is it energy versus oil and gas, or is it, you know, more broad or more narrow? A lot of these markets are huge, and so you have to have enough room to maneuver. Likewise, it has to be narrow enough so that you can dominate it, in the region or geography in which you choose to work. So there is a material amount of market research and sort of experience gathering that you have to do in order to be able to select the market. And then there's some assumptions about, you know, you have to be great at marketing, right? You have to be, you know, very focused and you need to understand how to market and how to sell into that market exceptionally well if you're going to be able to be successful in it. So assuming that all of those things are working, I think, you know, we found that firms that are even very narrowly niched on company and industries, and let's pick on like hospitality during COVID, for example, we're still able to survive and thrive because the buying community gets more selective in that vertical. And they say, look, if we're going to take a risk or we're going to take a flyer or we're going to do a project, we're going to do it with a specialist, someone who focuses on our market so we can mitigate the risk of failure versus looking at it more from a general perspective. At least that's been certainly my experience, that, yeah, there may be a little bit of a speed bump that they can hit on revenue growth trajectory. But when you look at it through that, what is typically a fairly short downturn in any given market, they were able to still be on a sort of macro growth trajectory and high margin growth trajectory. We haven't seen, for example, a vertical market focused firm go out of business because their focused market, you know, had a downturn or a big upending experience. And I know, you know, Matt, you recently worked with a company that was focused in the hospitality space, and we analyzed their numbers through COVID. So, you know, you can speak more materially to that. But I would say that that sort of objection for verticalization or for really building expertise doesn't in practice hold really hold water in the end. And I think certainly you always have the right to sort of tune and tweak your market to include adjacencies where you still have expertise and sort of exclusivity, if you will, or more a selective nature of the customers that you would target.
Yeah, I agree with you, Mike. I think that it's also, you know, think about it, you know, Ryan, to your point around, oh, maybe oil and gas, right? And there are some cyclical, you know, aspects to it. But those buyers that understand that market also understand the cyclical nature, right? And so now, you know, there is a question related to timing, right? You know, the a firm that was focused in hospitality. Now, you don't plan for things like COVID, right? But say that some external outside forces are in place that creates a natural headwind in the market. Well, you may not want to time your exit, right, in the middle of that. To your point, Mike, you know, with this great firm that we worked with a focus in hospitality, you know, they were able to come out of what was some headwinds, right, in that space and grow exponentially faster coming out of that. Now, it wouldn't have been the right thing to do to bring them to market right in the middle of it. They were so well positioned for what was really explosive growth coming out of it that it was an easy transition to go from wait to, you know, let's execute and very, very successful program. So no, I think that there's you can stay very strong, you know, within that one vertical environment, even if it's, a market that has some ebbs and flows to it. Now, we're not saying that you can't build additional verticals as well. You can. You just need to make sure that you're doing well enough in that primary, and then being selective in terms of where there's adjacency vertical to vertical, you know, makes it easy to start to expand.
I'll chime in. One of the things that we did see that we've seen often in even cyclical industries, when they are in a bit of downturn, the companies that are industry focused still remain profitable. Like the overall dollar amount, the absolute dollar might go down, but typically the level of profitability tends to stay the same. I think this goes back to some of your earlier points, Matt, of the increased focus and the increased intellectual property and the ability to scale helps improve those EBITDA margins, and you can weather a storm that is in an industry cycle. That's something that's been a consistent force in our the companies that we've seen with those vertical market approaches. That's the main things I've got. Matt, I'll turn it over to you for any other closing thoughts, and then I'll have a little summary for you.
Yeah, I mean, I think the only closing thought is that, you know, is that verticalization is not a panacea in and of itself, right? It needs to be, you know, built into a strategy of identifying your specialization in terms of your offering against a vertical, and aligning those things appropriately, and then, you know, making it easy for customers to buy. Speaking to, you know, Mike's marketing and marketing excellence, as well as sales excellence and the like. And, you know, we call that SVP here at Revenue Rocket, and would love to talk to any and all more about it. If there's some additional questions that came out of this discussion, and or any other questions that you've got related to mergers and acquisitions in the IT services space, and or accelerating your growth, you know, throw them our way. We'd love to hear from you on those questions. And as a matter of fact, I think we may have a gift for them, Ryan, if we get some questions, you know, sent in.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. If any kind of question you have, we happy to be part of our give back campaign and send you actually a really nice Diodome for every water bottle that you were able to send out. We've got 10 years of water for people that cannot have access to safe water today. So appreciate you to send us those questions. We'd love to talk about that. If I was to summarize what I heard today, you know, what I heard was that picking a vertical market can bring a whole level of differentiation, and that differentiation brings another level of value for your firm. And customers are there. It's easier to acquire customers and easier to keep customers, which increases that revenue and profit, and increasing that level of intellectual property. And all those things, I hear recurring revenue, I hear profit, I hear strong profit margins, I hear revenue growth, I hear intellectual property. Those are all pluses when it comes to value of your firm. If you're able to find a buyer that's in alignment with your vertical market, they're willing to pay up for it. Not only do you get that premium because you've got better profit margins, but they also gain more strategic synergies. And those synergies ultimately lead to more money in your pocket and a future that's better together to really tackle the industry needs for those markets. You might fill a very specific gap in an industry that's another company can't. And that can put, that can throw EBITDA multiples out the window for traditional EBITDA into something that's really special. Also consider that firms outside your vertical market may want to come in and acquire your company that you're an expert in. So, keep in mind when you're evaluating suitors, those suitors may have an adjacency strategy and you could be the perfect fit within that strategy. So if you're targeting one market today, it may not be the market, it may be a different market than your buyers in. And the other thing I heard is that industry experts, you can really weather the storm of industry cycles and still remain profitable. So that brings a level of profitability and predictability to your earnings that allow for a higher valuation. And then the last thing, Matt, I think is a great point. Picking and winning the vertical markets, it can be natural, but it should be guided towards it's best to work with an advisor to help pick a vertical market, to help win the vertical market, help build your offerings for that vertical market, and help you be that champion for that vertical market. Work with a company that can help best get you there, and we'd be honored if that's revenue rocket. And with that, Mike, I'll turn it over to you.
Thanks, Ryan. You know, I'll sprinkle in just one more thing. You know, when you're aligning to verticals, you got to build around ones you're passionate about. You know, certainly having a high degree of passion about that market will help you actually perform better as a company, and we would encourage that. And with that, as both Ryan and Matt mentioned, we're happy to send on you as part of our Give Back campaign. Our Dodomi water bottle provides fresh water for 10 years for people in areas of the world where that is a very precious commodity and hard to get, just by sending us a question about this podcast or really any other topic within the domain of IT services, about growth or M&A. And we look forward to hearing from you. Send it to us at info@revenuerocket.com. Feel free to check us out on the web as well at revenuerocket.com. We've got a lot of interesting content there to help you kind of grow your business and learn some facts. With that, we'll call it and tie a ribbon on it for this week in August of 2023. And look forward to having you tune in next week when we unpack additional growth strategy and M&A topics for your market. Thanks again, and take care.